Blog Talk Radio.
And there we have it. This is Rob Thrasher. I'm doing a spotlight on authors today. We have an author on the line here. Her name is A.G. Mogan, and you can look that up on Facebook. I have a link through my site, and it's A space G space Mogan, M-O-G-A-N. She is on the line from Romania. And are you there, Ms. Mogan?
Yes, I am. How are you, Rob? Thanks for inviting me.
I'm doing well. It's very much appreciated that you came on the show with us. I'm excited about this book. And by the way, we'll discuss this a little bit more later, but it's some of the book that caused, caused issues, caused the book to be banned. Were some of the images from the cover, but I got to tell you, it's a very nicely done cover. It's really nice, your cover.
Oh, thank you. I actually did that myself, so I take that as a compliment.
Did you really?
Thank you. Yes.
Nice. Very nice. Very good job. So, Ms. Mogan, what is the title of your book?
It's called The Secret Journals of Adolf Hitler, and it's actually a trilogy. So this
trilogy.
Would be this would be the first volume, which is called The Anointed.
Awesome.
And I'm going to publish the second volume in about 2 weeks, and then a third one.
Nice.
It's yet to be written.
All right, and you're calling us from where in Europe? Romania.
Yes, I'm calling from Romania. It's where I was born and grew up. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say good morning, but it's only 7 a.m. here. What time is it there in Romania?
Here it's, let me see, it's 2 o'clock, 2 p.m.
2 p.m.
Yeah.
Nice. A little bit of a time difference and also a little bit of a delay, so I do apologize to listeners. There's always going to be a little delay no matter how you do this because we're going across the ocean. So my first question is, what actually inspired you to write this book?
Well, that must have been my love for history and its personalities. And I chose Hitler because after so much reading and research, there were still questions that were left unanswered. So that's when I decided to put pen on paper and give an answer to those why questions.
Sort of filling in the gaps.
Exactly. Because when I was reading, always the why question pops up in my head. So I started to research and go deeper and deeper and deeper. And when I thought I had a satisfying answer, I say, I have to let others know too. So that's when I started writing.
And that's really, honestly, that's really the inspiration of all books, fiction or fact. And I suppose I'm kind of going in a slightly different order than we had discussed, but I think it's falling right in line here. So when you mentioned sort of one inspiration is your love of history, you studied history, you did a lot of research on this. But I think the cool part is this is actually classified as a fictional book, right?
It is, because there is a lot of speculation. And if you are to write a nonfiction biography of somebody, you are so tied up with being factual that's the reason so many why questions are still left. So what you can do is write fiction and then speculate. But that speculation must come from very thorough research. It's not like, okay, I heard about Hitler and I'm going to write because I am A.G. Mogan. And no, you have to do a lot of research and choose whatever it's coming closer to the truth.
No, that's awesome. Yeah. So you use sort of your knowledge of psychology, your studying of psychology, your studying of the actual journals, and then you kind of put your brain into what was Hitler thinking, what turned him into what people would call a monster, And that's just so additional inspiration was just kind of becoming him for part of this book. As scary as that sounds, it's like when somebody studies as an actor, that they study their role, and it literally, there's been actors, as you probably know, who have actually absorbed themselves so far into the role that they kind of lost it for a while, or they lost it completely.
Yeah.
So I think it's interesting. You kind of study a script and you kind of fill in the gaps. And what other inspirations did you have? Other authors or mentors that you had as inspiration?
Well, I read a lot as a child, as a teenager, and later in my adulthood. But not until I read Margaret George's books, I came to the realization that I wanted to write. I was so struck with her style that I say, I can do this, and I want to do this because here is a book that can give me a truth, can give me a side of the coin which I never looked at. But this
sure.
must be what really happened. And that's why I love fiction, because you can go so, so far with fiction and still be correct.
Sure.
I mean,
who's
to say this isn't what really happened? Unless
exactly.
you have proof that
exactly.
it didn't happen, then it might have. So, yeah.
That's what I liked about the book. Is it's a mixture of actual papers with you kind of becoming the role of the primary target, that being Adolf Hitler. It's very interesting and intriguing the way he wrote this book. I really think that's amazing. And you had mentioned this is the first of a trilogy, which is I find interesting. And just so other authors can kind of get a feel for, you know, how long does it take to write a book? And I know you had mentioned you started out writing a different book and ended up writing this book. Is kind of evolved into this book? And if so, how long did it take you to write the book?
I started actual research and writing, because I do research and write at the same time, in 2012. So that must be 5 years now. Yes.
Okay, right.
So I published Volume 1 last year. And when I published Volume 1, I had Volume 2 already, half of it written, right? So let's say I write a volume and half in 5 years. But because it is Hitler, and because I wanted to give out my best and to come as close to the truth as possible, maybe that's why it took so long. I mean, 5 years, it's kind of long to write a book. But, you know,
And from
to
all
do
the
a good
people
job.
I've talked to, authors I've... Yeah, sure. The authors I've talked to, 5 years is not really that crazy. I mean, if you're... You know, if you're writing, say, your own memoirs, or if you're writing, certain things are easier to write. Other things are, especially if you're taking the facts, putting the facts down on paper, and then trying to fill in the gaps, that can take a while. So 5 years, I don't think is crazy unreasonable to get a book published. You had some particular problems, problems that you might not have here in the United States as far as publishing the book, that it actually got banned for particular reasons. Can you tell me more about that?
Yes, of course. Yes, it got banned because the previous cover had an eagle and the swastika on it, and it's forbidden by German law. I mean, I remember last year or 2 years ago, there was a Chinese guy traveling to Germany, and he did that Heil Hitler symbol with his arm raised in the air, right? And he got arrested.
Okay.
So,
wow.
You are not allowed in Germany to mention anything connected to the Hitler or the Third Reich. So that's why
so
they banned
like...
my book in Europe. But
all
I
right. So if it's banned in Germany, it's banned in the. If it's banned in Germany, then it's banned in the European Union as a whole, right?
Yes, because that's how Create Space works. It's the platform through which I publish. And it's not country by country. You can select each country you want your book to go to or not. It's just Europe. So if something is not allowed in Germany, then all Europe has to suffer.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
So it wasn't even the content of the book. It was literally they're judging a book by the cover, and they banned it based on the cover, some of the imagery on the cover.
Yeah, I think so. I'm not sure. I don't know if anybody, if they read it or not, or they thought it's too much
right.
for them.
Right.
I just stick with the cover. That's the answer they give
okay.
me.
And so it's the symbols more than it was the content. Interesting. That's very interesting.
That's what they said.
Okay. So so the book banned in Europe, I mean, that's not good news. But that said, I think a lot of books could be successful if they even just sort of took off in the U.S. or other parts of, you know, Australia or probably not Britain.
Yeah.
Probably not Great Britain, the United Kingdom. Would it also be banned there?
I'm not sure.
I think so.
But I think so.
All right. Well, okay. We'll look
I'm
into that,
sure.
And we'll post it on the website. I didn't mean to surprise you with that question. I was just curious. I think probably not is what I'm thinking. But anyway, so people obviously revile Adolf Hitler. He was obviously a bad guy. Nobody's questioning that. You're not trying to make him seem like a good guy. You're just trying to get in the mind of the guy.
I'm trying to be as, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, you're fine. So my follow-up question to the whole thing that is being banned because of the cover, and there's certain, obviously the swastika is one of the symbols, if I was to guess. And again, nobody's saying this is good. It's just interesting. I mean, even in the, you know, the heart of what is we all see is evil, there's things, facts, and things that maybe, you know, are not factual that have been surmised or sort of in the psychology of this individual. And I know that it's got to be even the facts that are on paper must be kind of scarce. But as you said at one point in our initial conversation was that they're out there, but they're difficult to find. Tell me about how hard it was for you to get the content, to get even like a basis to start with.
I cannot say it was hard, but it took a lot more digging.
Okay.
I read everything, almost everything that was out there about him, but I still felt it wasn't enough. So I started to study psychology just to be able to understand what happened with him, not because I love him or something like that, but because I wanted to be as good as possible in my explanation. So I actually wrote two or three chapters before I started to learn psychology, and I deleted them. I deleted them and started all over again with new knowledge. And I was saying that I read almost everything out there about him, but it wasn't enough. So what I did, I started to track his footsteps, if I can say it that way. I started listening to the operas he was listening, because he was so much in love, I can say, even to Richard Wagner and his operas. He would go to his operas every week. He was obsessed with his music. So I started listening to that and reading the transcripts of those operas and to see what they said. What else I did? I started to read books that he himself had read. And what's crazy is that you can find so many things in these operas and in this not only operas, but the books that he read that you can later trace in his own ideology.
Okay.
Right?
Interesting.
It's like, yes, Sometimes in his speeches, you can find paragraphs that match almost perfectly some paragraph in a book he read when he was 15 or 20. So
wow.
I think I got a feeling of him more through reading these books and listening to the operas he listened than from reading other books, like books that other writer wrote, right?
Interesting. So this is truly, like I said earlier, you were like an actor studying a role, and in the process
That's right.
studying that role, what you learned is
That's right.
Mostly everything he said came from another source, another book, a different opera, what have you. And
That's
he basically,
right.
he was really what we call plagiarized his political agenda
yes.
and his ideology, and even his autobiographies basically plagiarized.
Yes. I was searching for this word, but yes, you put it into my mouth, and that's great. I like it. He kind of
yeah,
plagiarized
really cool,
his
so.
Entire identity,
yeah.
if you ask me.
Right.
He's like a fraud,
that's
if you ask me.
And so there's always a controversy here in the United States if the music that the kids listen to, the plays they watch, the TV shows they watch, you know, can that have an influence on a person? I think this is proof positive that not only can it have an influence, it can change a country, change history, and it can be used for like any tool, even the internet, it can be used for great good or very, very, very evil purposes.
Yes, exactly. I totally agree with you. I mean, there are kids who have been maltreated or had a rough childhood, and they turn up to be great people. But there are some that will turn into haters. And usually those ones,
right.
in my studies, I found that those ones have a much stronger willpower than the others. And if they put that
right.
in the job of hate, then, yes, they become Hitlers, little Hitlers, or, you know.
Or what have
and
you, or Stalins, or et cetera.
Or Stalins, or, yes, or serial killers, or because they
right.
have in them such a powerful will to revenge. And they want to revenge themselves
sure.
on the people around, on the entire world, because they feel it's justifiable.
So it looks like the formula for a monster is one, a bad upbringing, horrible upbringing, two, being obsessed with messages that he thinks are already true and that he takes to the masses, and the third thing would be kind of a really bad economy, a bad surroundings, a bad country feeling, a bad feeling from a previous war. And all these things turn into a massive psychological trigger, I believe is the way you phrase it. And that is really
yeah.
what made what seemed like a nice, polite young boy into a monster.
Yes, that's correct. But the economic problems were a little bit later. Before that, Hitler spent 5 years in Vienna. He tried to,
yeah.
he actually applied to the Academy of Fine Arts. He wanted to become
mm-hmm.
a painter, and he was rejected.
Okay.
So after being rejected, he became homeless, a tramp. He used to sleep in men's shelters and beg for food. And he would watch this society, which, by the way, was very fashionable to be anti-Semitic in his time in Vienna. So he internalized all these things and looked at the world around and saw, okay, I have to beg for my food, for my bread, and look at these Jewish people who are all rich, who are all in the government, who are all like leaders of us, and why should Jewish people be managers and we Germans have to work for them? And all these things.
Right.
And yeah, so that was before that that was his life before the First World War, which is also called the Great War. So before
the Great War, right?
Yeah.
Interesting. So we combine a kind of a sociopath with a very—he was a very charismatic sociopath. He could convince people with just about anything because he was charismatic. Everything he said with very, very great, you know, oomph and vigor, and he turned a lot of people who were suffering hard times into basically believing that all of their problems were this one race in the country, and that this particular race was highly successful, and he was jealous of that. He was unhappy with the end of the First War. He was rejected numerous times, over and over again. He lived in an anti-Semitic age. He lived in a place where people were poor, and they probably had bread lines and stuff that we've even seen in our recent history, things that cause, you know, people to look towards somebody who's a dictator because they just want him to take the reins and to make things good again, and they don't much really care how he does it. And I suppose the final thing about somebody with this, so he's charismatic, he's a sociopath, he's in the wrong/right times, I guess for him it was the right time to strike, and he literally took over the government in a almost like a coup fashion, right?
No, not really. He was appointed by Hindenburg.
Right,
but
he was appointed as a...
That's way into volume two. That's way into volume two.
Yeah, right. There you go.
He wants to...
Okay, so we'll talk about that next time.
yes, but
so,
for now,
so that
he staged
works.
A putsch. He staged a putsch, an uprising.
Right.
He failed, and he ended up in the prison.
And then he almost became a martyr, in a sense, for the people who he claimed to represent.
That's right, a hero. That's right, a hero.
Yeah,
because
their hero.
You must understand, he had a stronger willpower than his fellow countrymen. But other than that, almost everybody in that country was upset with how the war ended. So they were humiliated. They felt they had been betrayed. They had been stabbed in the back. And he just put into words what everyone was thinking. That's why he became so charismatic, because he knew what to tell them. He knew what they wanted to hear. And he drilled on that. So that's why he was very charismatic.
Interesting. So the times, the places, the events, his upbringing, the shame of losing the war, and as you phrased it, the inequity of the Treaty of Versailles.
That's right.
Which, you think about it, you know, if you lose the war, you don't write the treaty. It's the winners who make the rules.
Right. You will see that in volume two that he talks about it more like the Diktat of Versailles. Diktat coming from dictate, like they did dictate us what to do. A treaty should be agreed by both parties, but did we really agree to sign that? Yes, we did. Germany did it, but it wasn't the true German leaders. It was the Jewish leaders, and so on and so forth.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, sure, they just wanted their normalcy back. They just wanted the country to go back to, you know, back to normal, I guess is the best way to phrase it. So a lot of factors, like you said, and I'm sure, as you said, you could take days and days explaining, even going into more and more detail. But I think really, like I said, in summary, it was just his upbringing. Actually, as they say, even today, there's a controversy about does the media influence people? And I'd like to tell anyone who thinks that it doesn't, that the people pay millions of dollars to put their message onto the television, especially during times when it's Super Bowl time or you know, football in Europe. But people, they don't spend millions of dollars because it doesn't influence people. So if you don't think the music, television, entertainment, video games, that's a big controversy. Do the video games desensitize these young people? And I think it also depends on the person, you know. This guy was already a sociopath. He had a horrible upbringing.
Exactly.
He was already downtrodden and just ready to strike at the next victim he could find. And he found millions of victims, and he struck out against them. Interesting.
I get
Go ahead.
I wanted to say that I get a feeling that when he finally decided, because it was a conscious decision, that the Jew was the enemy, as he put it, he was actually relieved and happy because he finally found a palpable or a visible enemy to which to get out all that hate.
Sure.
Right? Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah. Yep. I sure do. And I told you time would go fast. We're down to 3.5 minutes, so I want to just close it up real quick. First, I want to make this very clear. Ms. Mogan, A.G. Mogan, is not a Nazi sympathizer. She has no sympathy for what this man did. You were studying him from he was like a psychological sort of a guinea pig for you, where you studied this person, you studied the history, and then you took your own additions to add in between the gaps, things that you believe in your heart are probably what happened, but it is classified as fiction because there are things that you surmised from things like the operas you watched. I'm sure you could probably go through and pick out, you could compare and contrast something from the opera from something he had said or written on television, you know, place for place. Obviously, we don't have time for that now, but I just want to stress the fact that Ms. Mogan is not a Nazi sympathizer in any way, shape, or form. Any more than the guy who plays the Joker on Batman is an evil guy.
That's right.
So you were sort of an actor in your own play here, and I find it intriguing.
That's right. Exactly.
And
it was an
that's all explained in your foreword.
Hitler, the person, and the triggers that created a man like Hitler. That's it.
You got it. Yep. So anybody who's listening to this,
that's
a
ton of actions whatsoever.
Exactly. Yep. Understood. I want to make sure we get that out there, because we don't need any negative feedback. This is an interesting book. It was kind of a fun way to write a book. They have a name for it. I forget. It's kind of like a documentary where they fill in the gaps, but it's all straight up in your foreword. You explain the whole thing. Nobody's trying to trick anybody or become a Nazi sympathizer. That's no way, shape, or form what this is about. It's a great book. You can get it. You can visit my website. You can Google
one little thing,
the title.
Because I forgot.
Yep, we have 1.5 minutes.
Okay, so the book was subtitled The Anointed. And some people ask me, are you dumb? How can you say that? And it's called.
I see.
Yes, I know. I know. And I subtitled that because the entire first novel, it's an explanation how Hitler started to believe himself to be a messiah. Right?
It's speaking as him.
He was anointed.
Right. He believed he was anointed. Gotcha.
Because
and a lot of
like
people believe that as well.
Written by him. Yes. Yeah.
You got it. All right.
Because
so we're going to get ready to sign off. I apologize. We're out of time. We got a minute. I just want to make sure everybody finds the book. You can search for A.G. Mogan, M-O-G-A-N. You can search Cyber Village Spotlight or Spotlight on Success with me, Rob Thrasher.
Amazon.
Google Rob Thrasher. You can also find the book in Amazon and the title once again.
The Secret Journals of Adolf Hitler.
There you go. We said it in stereo.
Yeah.
The Secret Journals of Adolf Hitler by A.G. Mogan. Find it on Amazon. Find us on Facebook. And I just want to thank you for coming on the show. I'm hoping that we'll have you back again soon. And we're down to 20 seconds.
I hope so,
too. One more thing you want to say? All right. You're welcome. And we'll talk to you again very soon. You have a nice day, Ms. Mogan.
You too, Rob. Thank you so much. Have a
great
day.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And once again, you can find me online, Rob Thrasher, Find me on Facebook, Rob Thrasher. Also, the show is sponsored by Crowd. Get Crowd with a K, K-R-O-W-D. Have a nice day.